It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Tuesday morning arrives, and with it, the advent of more mysteries uncovered and more excitement to come. Hopefully, you're staying high and dry. Well, at least the dry part. I'll leave the rest up to you, but I meant by high. Well, you know, anyway, you know what I mean. Make of it what you will. Good morning, and welcome to Light the Tower on the Horn, 1049, 1019, AM 1260. And, of course, viewable for those of you watching us on Twitch or on the Horn app at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. Glad to have you with us. Be joined by my co-host, Jeff Howe, coming up in a few moments. Our man behind the glass, of course, is our erstwhile producer, the father confessor to all high school student athletes in the greater Austin area, and a man who single-handedly puts together that enormous project known as Flex ATX. Jonathan John Donaldson, J.J. Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to come in with something witty to say, but only had something hateful to say, which I'm going to just bite my tongue.
Hateful?
Yes.
About who?
Oh, no, an ex.
Oh, really?
Yeah, anyway. But I'm going to... I was like, what am I going to open up with today? And then I thought about what... And it was like not... very positive, so I was just going
to... Bucky and Aaron used to do a thing. I don't know if they still do it. I guess I should have asked them. If I'd known you were going to open with that, I would have asked them. They used to do a thing, you know, on Thursday, they do buck-ons and buck-offs, and, you know, good, bad, and ugly on Monday. Tuesdays used to be, they used to call it a Bitterman Tuesday, because, you know, you can get your bitterness out on Tuesday. Tuesday... I think it has been said on many occasions, is probably the most nondescript day of the week when you think about it. I mean, how many big things happen on Tuesday? Well, Election Day, Federal Election Day certainly happens on that. And you have a Super Tuesday during the primaries. Taco Tuesday, always important to have that.
Music and movies used to come out on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Things have changed clearly now about a lot of that. But... So they took to calling it like a Bitterman's Tuesday, where they would get. So if you feel that you need to unleash some bitterness,
now
feel free to do that.
The nice way to say it is like my ex's. No, I'm not going to say it. Never mind. Okay. Her baby ain't cute. There we go.
Her baby ain't cute.
It's so evil.
That
okay,
sounds
I'm
a little petty.
It is petty. It is. I am being petty.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Oh, all right, there I got it. Now I don't even have to think about, you know, because like when you have an ex, you know, I've had other girlfriends after her, but like some you kind of linger on sometimes for some whatever godforsaken reason.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So you kind of.
I'm still like bitter, like, and I've had probably two or three girlfriends since her. So like,
really,
and I'm still like, why?
But you're not over the other one. So, because you're not over the other one, then you get bitter.
Yes, and I hate it because I'm not a hateful person, and so for me to hold on to things that aren't nice, it's just is not really me, and it weighs on me.
Let go of your anger.
I know.
You must.
Thank you.
Else it consume you. Yeah. So anyway.
appreciate that. Those wise sage words.
Yeah. Well.
In the form of Yoda.
They come from Yoda, as we know. So Dan says, how about Petty Man Tuesday? Yeah, you could be petty about that. You know, petty might fit the bill because your unhappiness is based on pettiness, right?
Yes.
Is it a petty jealousy thing?
I'm sure it's all kinds of things. It's all kinds of, you know. Like I said, like I've had two or three since, but for some reason, whatever the hang-up is, it still makes me think about that one person. And Oh, God. So crazy. It sounds like I'm a big philanderer. I'm not. But like...
No, you're a simp. That's what's been pointed out, right?
I'm a simp. But, like, I do have, like, a kid, and, like, I think about, like, this other girl more than, like, my baby mama. And that's, to me, that's, like, kind of messed up. I don't know why that is.
How's your baby mama feel about that?
She's fine. Oh, my baby mama, she's totally fine. She would be fine if I were just to, like, leave forever. She's so good.
You're there, you're not there. Yeah, it's okay. It's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like she's got a good grasp on everything.
She does. And you know what?
As opposed to you? Is that what you're saying?
I'm still figuring out.
I'll tell you what. We'll take this up on the couch next week. You know, we'll do it with our next therapy session. meantime, of course, on board with us, my co-host, the proud graduate of Florence High School, the pride of Northwest Williamson County, mind you, and a former outstanding offensive lineman. All district offensive lineman.
Outstanding. That's one word I would not use to describe my play back in the day. Craig.
If you were all district, you had to be outstanding because you stood out from the others who did not receive all district honors.
I think it's
ergo
outstanding. I think it's just one of those all district deals they just kind of give you. Just you're a senior, you haven't got one yet. We'll just throw one on you. But I'll say this:
be that as it may.
Thank you,
Jeff
Craig.
Howe. You know him best for his outstanding work at Horns 24/7, and that's where outstanding is truly merited.
Okay, so we got Kendall Rogers coming up in the 11 o'clock hour.
Absolutely. D1Baseball.com. We'll talk baseball on the national scene. They have the Longhorns ranked number 2 in their latest polls. The RPI shows Texas, most of them at 2. This is a final climactic week, and it could really have a lot of drama given what the weather might or might not do.
True.
This week.
That's going to be the biggest player this weekend is Mother Nature. So we've got Kendall coming up. We got 2 notebooks.
Yep.
One at the bottom of this hour, one at the bottom of hour number 2. Inconceivable to close out hour number 1. But because it's already a topic on the Specs text line, 337-3776, it does smell much better in here today because, Snoop, you and I, now, in Craig's defense, I can't include Craig in this, not because Craig is a professional and he would not be caught up in such tomfoolery. Craig, your sniffer was not working yesterday. How is it today?
Better.
Okay.
Better. And things do not smell bad in here.
No, it smells fine. It smells like it's been cleaned in here, which is that's an unusual smell.
I noticed we were off the chart weather-wise on mold yesterday.
Yeah.
And so the pollen count, the mold, I mean, allergies have really bothered me. I've been stoved up and stuff like that. Also, the climate change coming back from Los Angeles.
I think that's the biggest player.
Yeah. So all of that played into it. So I didn't smell this yesterday.
We're, of course, talking about Deucegate, as BK has coined it.
Yeah, and here's the interesting thing about it. I understand, as Brad Kellner, along with Rod Babers yesterday, Kevin Dunn is out this week, so it's just 2/3 of RBKD, the triple option. So I guess if it's only 2/3 of the triple option, that means it's just an option, right? Because it's not triple option there.
Just,
so you get
just,
option.
Just the football. Option.
Yeah, just option. So Brad Kellner, BK, was launching what Rod took to referring to calling BK Investigates. And
yes.
And was trying to figure out, you know, how it happened. Because what happened is yesterday, And Bucky and Aaron made no mention of it yesterday morning.
That's the part that I still can't wrap my head around.
Aaron's theory on this, and it may hold some merit, is that when they got in on Monday morning, yesterday morning, it was so cold in the studio that it might have actually, well, if not frozen the smell, at least contained it. So then when they turned it all up, of course, by the time we usually walk in here, you can fry an egg in this room in here, but they walked in there and you smelled it immediately. You thought it was a trash can. Took the trash can out and they thought, okay, maybe it smells better.
Snoop took the trash out.
Then you thought it was the chair.
Okay, and I've got to give my explanation on the chair because you remember during our little cross session yesterday when Chad's coming in to start Shirts and Skins because Chad is in the studio, Trey is behind the glass where Snoop is. So we don't have that communication with Trey unless it's just a random day where he's in here. Which yesterday was not. So I tell Chad, I said, Chad, don't sit in this chair. It smells bad because here's the chair thing. At the other place, there was a chair over there. And when we started Longhorn Blitz, which I can't believe we're going into year 9 of Longhorn Blitz this year. When we started Longhorn Blitz, there was a chair that we used in the primary studio. And Matt Butler, by the way, Longhorn Blitz is posted this week's episode, is available anywhere you get your podcast. Just search Hornets 24/7 podcast and click the subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review, too, if you're so kind to do so.
And it'll be on after the ball game tonight.
Yes,
after or in place of if we get a rainout like last Tuesday.
One or the other. So there's a chair over there, and Matt Butler tells me, he's like, dude, I'm not going to throw an employee under the bus here, but there was a particular employee at the other place that sat in that chair. Like, so-and-so sits in that chair. It smells like butt. Don't sit in that chair or you're going to stink all day. I'm like, cool, I'll find another chair. So I'm thinking I sat in one, in that chair in the podcast studio, so maybe somebody had some kind of odor on their clothes
right.
that I picked up in the podcast studio, brought it over here, got it in this chair, and, you know, maybe.
Bucky thought you were blaming it on him, like old man
it wasn't, but
messed himself or something in the chair.
No, because it wasn't that kind of smell.
Okay.
Like old man smell, it's like mothballs and something else, like that kind of smell. It wasn't that kind of smell. Different kind of smell. So I thought I'd picked it up. I told Chad not to sit in this chair, but it turns out Chad texted me before the end of the show. He's like, yeah, that smell you smelled, it was poop. It was dog poop. And by the way, Craig, your theory on the temperature, I wonder if that's a legit theory or that was just an excuse for Bucky to say poopsicle.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Well, he did. He did do that.
Which he has done.
Yeah. But. So, yeah, so, I mean,
were at the forefront of Deuce Gate, Snoop.
Yeah, and you guys didn't know, it was just right over there in the corner.
In that corner over there.
Oh.
Right over there.
It was that side of the room, yeah, for
well,
sure.
Yeah, well, see, Snoop and I thought it was something in this corner, and because it was strong over here where the TV
instead,
is.
Instead, it was over there, and it was wafting. It was all over there.
But that's what makes it. I never look in that corner. There's no reason for me to go to that corner of the studio. Mm-hmm.
All right, so there it is. So it was solved. And the person is not to be named. It's being handled internally. Put it that way.
And it wasn't a person.
Well, no, I'm saying the person who brought the dog in.
It was
a dog that did it. It was not a person. Squatting over
nobody
in the corner.
Dropped trow and
did that
left
there.
A stink pickle in the studio.
No,
it was a dog.
No, it was no wolf bait left by a human. Okay, just saying.
You know what this is? This is karma for Bucky's baked potato incident back in the day.
Probably waited all those years for karma to catch up to him, and it probably finally did. But
somebody left him a baked potato.
Yeah.
But it wasn't him. Bucky wasn't impacted by the smell. It was us. And specifically me. Did you ever think, Craig, you'd luck out like on one of the days where just your sinuses
my olfactory senses were not firing?
You picked the perfect day for all five not to be clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah. So, anyway.
As he takes a deep breath.
Yeah. It's okay today.
No, it smells like I said, it smells like the studio's been cleaned, which it never smells like that. So it's
also
it's a pleasant
smell. Aaron explained something else, too. We do have a cleaning crew that comes in, but the cleaning crew comes in on Monday night.
Oh, so that would explain the trash can, Snoop.
Because
we're like, man, it looked like the trash
had been
taken out
all
week.
I wonder
what they
would have said if they found that thing in the corner.
They would have said nothing. They would have cleaned it. That's what cleaning crews do. They would have said, now, amongst themselves, it would have said, what a bunch of nasty people work in this building.
I did a show. A dog pinched a loaf about 10 feet from where I did a show yesterday.
Yeah, how about that?
That's awful, man.
Yeah?
It's terrible.
Yeah. 2 hours. Sat right there around it.
2 hours!
You need to get another COVID shot.
COVID poop.
What do I tell the doc, Snoop? Be like, there's a turd about 10 feet from me yesterday for 2 hours.
Oh, we have a vaccination for that. Somebody else said they think that, by the way, Stink Pickle played at, what was that?
Craig, let me fix this real quick. Okay. I don't know. The text line is jacked up. Hold on.
Specs text line at 337.
Hold on, Craig. Let me.
Sure.
There you go.
There it is. Said, I think Stink Pickle played at Liberty Lunch in 1993. You're probably correct on that somewhere down there. Somebody said, somebody was kidding Snoop, said, love you guys, hands down my favorite. Okay, they were talking to him about.
That was for Snoop, I think.
Yeah.
Snoop now, why is everybody blaming Casey Stuttered for said turd that was left in here?
Yeah.
Casey's an honorable man.
Yes, he is.
Casey wouldn't do that.
Right.
So anyway,
and plus, I would love to see the person who would have to confront Casey to accuse him
of that. That would not be a wise decision. You would choose poorly if you did that. Okay, so mystery solved. It's that's all taken care of, and now we can get down to the business, so to speak.
Texas baseball tonight.
Yeah. against the Rice House. Time was when a Texas Rice midweek game was something special.
Boy, these are not your big brother's Rice House.
No, and I do remember, some big, big moments between these teams down through the years. None bigger than the times they met in the College World Series. They met three times, once in 02 and then twice in 03. They also... I did a game. I was working with Bill Schoening when he was still calling in 01, when Omar Quintanilla was badly injured in a collision second base in 01, and then came back afterwards. So that was in 01, a game down at Reckling Park. But in 02, they had some really good regular season meetings, then met in the first game of the College World Series. And I always remember Quintanilla's throw to the plate there. Mm-hmm. Great throw to the plate. Texas held on and got a 2-1 win and went on to win the College World Series. The next year they played, Rice beat them pretty badly in the first game, and then had that 5-4 game, the one right down to the stretch there. It's interesting to hear the perspectives on both sides. If you talk to David Pierce, who of course was Rice's pitching coach at the time, and Rice went on, you get that completely different perspective of how they saw it and what they saw in that as well. Then, of course, they met in the postseason at UFC Udish Falk Field in a regional, and they also met at a regional twice at Reckling Park in 2008, where they lost when they got in a regional final. That was after Texas had been upset on day one by St. John's. Came back through, beat St. John's, beat Sam Houston State, eliminated St. John's, and then lost to Rice, and then played them in 2011 or 2010 in the regional at UFC Udish Frog Field, beat them there, in the regional final, and then in 2014 the much ballyhooed regional where they had the big showdown with Texas A&M. Which set the attendance record at Reckling Park, a Texas A&M game. But they beat Rice in 11 innings in the Saturday night winners bracket game. That was a big one as well. So they've had all these.
Wasn't that a weather impacted game, if I remember right?
It was murky and kind of drizzly, but they played it. And
that was the night that TCU and Sam Houston had that, was it 22 inning marathon in Fort Worth?
It was. And so Texas won that one, and then, of course, lost A&M on Sunday night and then came back and beat the Aggies on Monday behind Chad Hollingsworth and his tremendous effort that night, and they beat A&M to win that regional.
Well, you talk about a guy that just basically made his legacy out of one postseason. Like, no, you can't name anything else Chad Hollingsworth did in his career at Texas, but good Lord, that one postseason in the regional and then in Omaha.
Yeah.
That's as good a postseason as I think maybe any Texas pitcher has ever had.
It was something else. So it was.
I put Austin Wood in a different category.
Yeah, that's a completely different thing. Time was when those games were really, really big time. You said, well, what's going on with Rice now? Because they played, remember last year, of course, it was such a truncated season. When Texas opened with a three-game sweep of the Owls in the now-forgotten last year, since there were only 17 games played, but the Longhorns opened by sweeping the Owls, and Matt Braga had taken over there following his great run at Tennessee Tech, whom Texas beat in the Super Regional in 2018 at UFC Udish Falk Field after Tennessee Tech had upset Ole Miss in Oxford, because Texas would have been ticketed to go to Oxford for that Super Regional.
Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee Tech won it, and then the Longhorns beat the Golden Eagles and had to do it in three games, but they did. So then Matt Braga leaves, takes over at Rice, and he's just kind of struggled to get it going. He's 51-76 at Rice. The Owls this year, 23-29-1. Having said that, They just come off. They come off taking three out of four from 20th ranked Charlotte over the weekend. So, you know, maybe they're perking up here late in the year as it's heading toward the finish line for the Owls.
Yeah, I'm going back to that Rice team, Craig, and you look at the 04 Major League Draft, so a year after they win the national championship, people forget, and I hope baseball, college baseball fans I know won't forget, but maybe the casual baseball fan, that Rice team, he had three pitchers go in the top eight picks in the draft.
David Pierce's pitchers.
Yeah.
That he worked
Phillip Umber went number three, Jeff Niemann number four, and then Wade Townsend number eight to the Baltimore Orioles.
You want to hear some interesting perspective about those times and that team and that program at the time? Talk to David about it. Mm-hmm. He'll tell you. It was different. And, you know, obviously under Wayne Graham and, you know, what it was like there. Coach Graham was at a Texas game pretty recently, came in as well. So, Texas and Rice, we hope the weather will allow it to take place tonight. It'd be 6:30 for the first pitch, 6:15 for the airtime. So we'll have it for you, weather permitting, tonight, Texas and Rice. And obviously we'll be keeping track of other games. So we're hoping that Texas State can play its last non-conference game of the season in Fort Worth tonight.
I saw Colonel Flowers tell Bucky and Aaron that game has already been canceled.
It's already been banged, as they say in the business.
Let me double-check that, but... Yeah, I might have to check that during a break, but we'll believe that was, according to Colonel Flowers, that game has
already been canceled. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me if that were the case. Okay. So, anyway, we'll get to all of that. And we've got, play-in starts tonight in the NBA. So get ready for play-in action, right?
I'm excited.
So there's that going on. Snoop, are you excited about your Texas Rangers? Beat Garrett Cole and the Yankees last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Garrett Cole.
I have a feeling Snoop did not see the game
last night. No. What did I do last night?
What did you do?
Sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually slept, which I never do.
Yeah.
So the studio got cleaned. I slept. What's next?
Rangers beat the Yankees. Well, miracles never cease, right? Yeah. Beat Garrett Cole last night, too. Prevented him from becoming the majors' first six games winner. You also missed Albert Pujols in his Dodger debut. First at bat, deep fly ball to left for an out. Second at bat, RBI single up the middle to drive in Mookie Betts. And then he had one more, fly ball to right. Took a called third strike. That's right, on the inside. And it was actually that the strike zone showed it actually inside of it. But anyway, the K zone, whatever. But then hit a fly ball to right and was out. But it looks like he is assimilated with his teammates out there in L.A.
One for four.
Yeah.
Not with below the Mendoza line, but right at it.
Well, 250. And it was an important RBI. Dodgers won 3-1 over the D-backs. He did it off of Madison Bumgarner, who went in on a real hot streak. So, anyway, that was what else you missed last night.
TCU Texas State has been canceled, Craig, officially.
So. Okay. All right. So there you go. All right. Coming up, we'll have our first Longhorn notebook of the hour, easy for you to say. So we'll have that. We do have Inconceivable as well, and much more here on Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital, and viewable on Twitch as well, on the Horn app at hornfm.com.
Bucky and Aaron.
Walker, the nurse, the dude.
Back here on Light the Tower, Craig Way, Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel alongside as well. We're with you all the way up till noon. Then the guys who uncovered Poopgate, Chad Hastings and Trey Elling, Ronald John Elling III. With Shirts and Skins coming up at noon, followed by two-thirds of the triple option, Rod Babers and Brad Kellner there with you. So it's the RB and it's NBK, sorry. So it's R, I guess it'd be RBK, right? RBK. It'd be RBK, right? So because there's no D, because Kevin's not there. It's just RB, you know, RBK. So Rod Babers, Brad Kellner with that coming up. And they were the ones who launched BK Investigates yesterday to find out, to solve the mystery of the dog poop. It's been solved. All right. Now that is cleared away. It's time for the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
It's just one less thing for Jeff to have to worry about as he, you know, put together the notebook for this hour.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I don't have that. You know what's never fun is during the break, I was checking my inbox at Horns 24/7, and man, anytime you get something wrong in an article, you just have to own it. And I was, I've got an NFL draft related story, some of the data I've shared here. And basically, I was looking at Texas compared to what they produced to, you know, current and former Big 12 members within the last decade, this run of drafts without a first round pick for Texas. And I forgot to count Ryan Tannehill technically toward Texas A&M's total. So pretty much Texas A&M in 2 years. As a member of the Big 12, had as many first-round draft picks in the last decade as Texas did over a full decade. It just further paints in perspective the issues Texas has had producing first-round picks, which has coincided with a lack of wins on the field. But that's always a bad feeling, Craig, anytime you feel like you put a lot of research into it, you do something big, and then, you know, hey, by the way, moron, you missed this. Well, my bad.
So. It goes only to show that you are, after everything is said and done, a human being.
I am a human being. So, you know, what else is human, Craig, is, you know, that's why we play games. We as humans, we have our opinions. We pontificate and do a lot of different things in the off season, but none of that really matters once toe meets pigskin and things get going on the field. And I'll credit our national news desk at 24/7 Sports. They do a lot of really good content that gets a lot of people talking in the off season. Helps get us through the doldrums until we get to Big 12 Media Days, which usually means we're right around the corner from camp. So that's when the season can start. And Riley Gates does a really good job, covered Kansas State for a K-State site for a while. Now he's doing some national stuff. Had an article recently predicting every Big 12 team's first loss. Would you like to know, Craig, Riley's prediction on the first loss for Texas under Steve Sarkisian?
Sure.
At Arkansas on September 11th. Now, Craig, if Texas wins that game, here, Buck and Aaron were playing the Dan Campbell audio and like, hey, would you let a lion bite your arm off to win a Super Bowl? And there was the Mike Vrabel hypothetical. Craig, if it meant Texas winning a football game, would you get pelted with a pimento cheese sandwich again in Fayetteville?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm just willing to know. I want to know how far you're willing to go, Craig, to have a good, successful winning call at D.W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium on September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
So here's just a little bit of what Riley said. There's not a lot of reason right now to doubt that Steve Sarkisian can't get the job done at Texas. That being said, it's not going to be an overnight job. It's going to take the former Alabama offensive coordinator some time to adjust and get things going, and a road test into SEC territory is going to be one of the toughest tests Sarkisian goes through in his first year. Arkansas appears to be going in the right direction under Sam Pittman right now and has a great chance to get a huge win over Texas before Sarkisian establishes himself. Boy, all that junk I talked about Arkansas last offseason, why do I feel like it's going to bubble to the surface and I will be constantly reminded of it that week as we get ready for that game? I don't know if that promo, I hope that promo is still not in the system. There's no reason for it to be at this point, but I said Arkansas fans should, you know, pray for 2-8, plan on 1-9, and what was
expect.
It? Expect 0-10. Mm-hmm. Well, they won a couple games. Understand Pittman playing an SEC-only schedule.
Three, didn't they?
And it goes to show you how important it is as a new coaching hire to get your staff right. Like, we talked about that a lot with Sark, but there's a reason why we did. Because we saw what happened when Tom Herman didn't get his initial staff right. And Charlie Strong didn't get his initial staff right. How far back that can set you when you're trying to build something. So no, regardless of whether you think, you know, Arkansas, Texas can go up to Fayetteville and lose a game to Arkansas, or whether you think Texas really is on upset alert, or maybe that game might, the spread for the opener against Louisiana might not be as big as people think it is, Craig, or probably should be. Regardless of whether you think that, when you think that loss is coming, history, recent history, is not on Steve Sarkisian's side when it comes to getting off to a good start. And here's what I mean by that. I go back to 1957, Craig, Darryl Royal's first season. Texas starts out 2-0 under Darryl Royal. They go on the road and beat Georgia. They beat Tulane. Then they lose to South Carolina at home. So it's a 2-1 start. The next new head coach, you don't have another new head coach on the 40 acres until Fred Akers in 1977. And, of course, He starts out 3-0, 11-0. Earl Campbell wins the Heisman Trophy. They go into the Cotton Bowl, ranked number one in the country, and unfortunately lose to Notre Dame. But since Fred Akers, David McWilliams in 1987, John Makovic in 1992, even Mack Brown in 1998, Charlie Strong in 2014, and Tom Herman in 2017, each of those coaches at Texas in their first season on the job, after their first three games, identical records of 1-2. And when you look, like, let's just go down the list here and look at though David McWilliams. They start out 1-2. They open on the road at Auburn, lose to Auburn, lose at home to BYU. 1992, Texas loses to Mississippi State, and then they go to the Carrier Dome and lose to Syracuse. Craig, were you on the broadcast by that point, or were you still
1992?
Were you still doing studio stuff?
No, 92 was my first year in the booth.
Oh yeah, so you went to the Carrier Dome,
and you know which was a mystery to us at the time, how a dome stadium that whose naming rights was went to a heating and air conditioning company was not air conditioned. It was sweltering in there. It was that was the second game that Bill Schoening and I did together in the booth. The first was the infamous Mississippi State Jackie Sherrill, the castrating. Yeah.
I was going to leave that out.
Yeah,
if you
that was the first one in 92. The second was the game at Syracuse. And that's the one where I got to do an interview with Keith Jackson.
Oh, that's cool.
The one, and it was just as nice as could be when I asked him about, you know, how fresh it is to him after all these years to do it. And he said, well, let me tell you, you got to find a way to disengage. And when we get done with this, me and the missus are going to head up to the Adirondacks for a few days and get away. It was great.
That's
it was
awesome. Great.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was... I remember that game, yeah.
You also remember, Craig, Mack Brown's 1-2 start. They go out to the Rose Bowl and lose to UCLA, but that was a game that they got down big and then made somewhat of a comeback late, and at least the score
that's where
was
we got
more,
to see Major Applewhite for the first time, really.
And it was more aesthetically pleasing. Well, you got a lot of Major the following week in Manhattan against a really, really good K-State team. A K-State team that was probably an overtime loss to Texas A&M in the Big 12 championship away from going to play for a national championship.
True enough. And for folks who wonder about, you can say how one bad game can ruin your Heisman Trophy chances, Ricky Williams that day was 25 carries for 43 yards. I believe that was like 1.7 yards per carry. 25 carries for 43 yards that day.
Yep.
As Texas was routed by a really good Kansas State team.
Gosh, Bill Snyder had some salty, salty teams
he did.
In the late 90s.
And that at that point, that's when it started to flip right after that. Texas went back to work and ended up playing very well the rest of the way. And
only lost one game the rest of the way.
That one, that crazy game out in Lubbock to Texas Tech. And then went on and beat Texas A&M on the Chris Stockton field goal and went to the Cotton Bowl and beat Mississippi State and Jackie Sherrill.
38-11, thumped the Bulldogs pretty good.
And Ricky won the Heisman and all that. But, yeah, 25 carries for 43 yards that day for Ricky on this bright, sunny afternoon in Manhattan where they just got, you know, just clocked by a really good Kansas State team.
Well, Mack Brown got it turned around. We know what happened at the end. He turns it over to Charlie Strong in 2014. And that 1-2 start, Craig, there's various points in Charlie's tenure where you wonder, man, if one or two plays in this particular game had gone the other way and they had won a game, how different would things have been?
Sure.
And, you know, that BYU game at home, that was one, you know, they had lost David Ash and Dominic Espinosa the week before. Then they had to, you know, Kennedy Estelle and Desmond Harrison got themselves booted out of the program. I think it was just Estelle at the time, and Harrison was, I think Desmond Harrison technically is still on suspension.
He still is.
From the University of Texas. You know my nickname for Desmond Harrison? I nicknamed him Sasquatch because I've heard about him. He's allegedly there. I just never see him.
Who was it that we used to ask about him every week?
It was Alex Dunlap.
Alex Dunlap would ask. That's right. He would ask. I give Alex credit for at least going for the update, trying to get an update every day.
To the point where about six weeks in, you know, Charlie runs down his notes. Hey, game yesterday, blah, blah, blah. Practice last night, runs down the injury report. And yes, Alex Desmond Harrison is still suspended.
Yeah.
And then starts the press conference. So, but that UCLA game, Craig, you know, that was one game we started to see a little bit from Tyrone Swoops. That was the first time we really saw, you know, John Harris come alive in a 1,000-yard season for him. The defense played well. Brett Hundley and that UCLA offense, they were built to be, you know, a powerhouse, and then they were in that game, and then Duke Thomas just fell for the double move there at the end, and that defense had played a really good game, and you just wonder, and if they start 2-1 and then they go to Kansas and beat a really bad Kansas team and they're 3-1, and how different is that first season for Charlie? There was a lot of points there in Charlie's tenure where things could have flipped. And then obviously 2017 with Tom Herman's opener against Maryland, that might be the most, other than the John Makovic, Jackie Sherrill castration game, that's got to be the most forgettable opener for a Texas head coach, considering the expectations and the way it started with the Holton Hill pick six, and then it was done after that. And I remember it's never good in the first game of a coach's tenure when they have to make an announcement over the PA, when Bob Cole has to come over the PA and discourage students from throwing trash onto the field with about 2 minutes left in the game.
Please refrain from throwing trash.
sounded something like that.
Removal from the stadium.
And then they go out to the Coliseum, and just was a phenomenal game to watch, to be there and be a part of. They lose to USC. So Sark is looking to buck that trend, Craig. Five Texas coaches in a row all started out 1-2 in their first seasons.
Yeah.
So even if there is a loss early, though, the only coach who really got it picked back up and really made something of that first season was Mac. And the tie-in there is Mac did it with Ricky Williams.
Mm-hmm.
If Bijan Robinson is a special talent and you build this offense around him, regardless of what the quarterback situation looks like, and, you know, I'm not a big fan of this receiver core. I've said that before. You've got a special transcendent talent. If he's truly that guy, he's the kind of guy that can get you through the rough patches. And if you're going to trend in the right direction by the end of the year, he's going to trend with you, and that's when things can potentially take off.
Let me get you to clarify something. When you say, I'm not a big fan of this receiver core, What you are in essence letting people know is,
I'm just not going to assume that because there are highly ranked former recruits in this group, and because it's what Sark did at Alabama with, you know, he had four first round wide receivers on that 2019 offense at Alabama, and he had a Heisman winner last year with Devontae Smith. I'm just not assuming that it's just going to come in and click and they're just going to be awesome right off the bat. Because we've seen go down the list of every big-time wide receiver in this program, every guy that you would say is a top-tier wide receiver. Joshua Moore, Troy O'Meary, Jordan Whittington, Jake Smith. All four of those guys have had serious injuries throughout their careers. And in the case of Whittington and Smith, you've got guys now racking up multiple injuries that have caused stops and starts. So it's just, there's the reliability factor. There's the consistency factor. I'm just not going to just automatically assume that things are going to be great. I've got to see it before I'm a 100% believer.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, that, I just wanted folks to
It's not that I think there are bad players in that group, or it's just scrubs. It's just I've got to see it before I just assume, oh, yeah, they'll be fine at receiver.
I want folks to understand that, so that if these guys all step up and do play well, that someone 6 months down the line, oh, back in May, Jeff said, I'm not a fan of any of these receivers. He clearly didn't like them and didn't think they could play. That's not what you're saying.
The potential is there, but you're at the point now, like with a guy like Jake Smith and a guy like Jordan Whittington, I hate to use the word luck, but you almost need that luck if he can stay. And, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again, Craig, the same things I say about Jordan Whittington and Jake Smith. There was a time where we said the same things about Jordan Shipley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't count on him to stay healthy. If he's there, great, but you can't rely on him. He got to a point in his career where he was reliable, and other than Colt McCoy, is maybe the one thing you could rely on more than anything else. But we'll see what happens. I wouldn't say I'm pessimistic about that group. I've got to see it in action before I just believe that this receiver group's going to take off under Sark.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. That's the notebook for this hour. We'll have another one coming up next hour. Up next.
Inconceivable.
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 You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Well, inconceivable, as always, means it's brought to you by our good friend Dr. Matthew J. Crawford and his outstanding staff at Austin Orthopedics. If you have a sports-related injury or you're interested in the prevention and treatment of sports-related injuries. Give our good friend Dr. Matthew J. Crawford and his staff at Austin Orthopedics a visit online at austin-orthopedics.com. Before we get into some inconceivable topics, Jeff Howell alerts us that we have breaking news.
Indeed. ABC ESPN has two Texas games. So Fox is doing their junkets right now. All that stuff is coming out on who's got what games. ABC ESPN has Texas Arkansas, September 11th in Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas OU is back on the ABC ESPN family of networks on October 9th.
So not on Fox.
Nope.
It'll be on, all right. So there it is. At least two of the television. Now the times have not been announced, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. No times.
Pretty safe bet. Arkansas will be prime time.
They're advertising the Arkansas game as an air quotes blockbuster game. So I would assume that's prime time on ESPN or ABC.
Yeah. Saturday night game. Pretty safe bet. 11 a.m. kick for OU.
Yeah.
Safe bet.
Oh, actually, you know what, Craig?
What? Do we have an update on that?
Yeah, we do have a time. Texas at Arkansas on Saturday, September 11th, 7 p.m. on ESPN.
Yep. Yep. No surprise on that. But it didn't announce one for OU yet,
no
right?
Time for the OU game, but typically, if it's an ABC ESPN game, it's going to be the 11 a.m. game on ABC. It usually is.
Could possibly be 2:30, but in all likelihood, 11 a.m. So, all right. So, it's a good way to start inconceivable, because it might be inconceivable to some folks that you would actually have, you know, broadcast timed or games announced this early.
And please, for the love of everything holy, which I know this is going to incite it, save your text messages on asking us why Texas OU is not played at night.
Well, I mean,
save the data on your phone and the battery life. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Somebody just said, damn, no Gus Johnson. Nope.
Well, if you're not turning the volume down and listening to Craig and Roger and Quan, then you're doing life wrong at that point.
Well, thanks. Just for that, I'm going to give you a nugget that you'll like.
You're talking about the nugget that was in the corner of the room yesterday that
not
we
that
were
nugget,
oblivious to?
But a nugget. I don't know how you feel about these nuggets. Burger King is bringing back another item.
And the chicken whopper, is it?
It's not the chicken. Yeah. And by the way, somebody texted and said, I'm really concerned. The person who was coughing during the deal for COVID. The person coughing was me. It was due to allergies. I was vaccinated 3 months ago. So, I mean, I'm okay. I'm in good shape.
I got my second shot on Friday. I'm not quote unquote fully vaccinated yet, but I'm good.
Yeah. No, it's not the chicken whopper. But Burger King is bringing back the crown-shaped chicken nuggets after a 10-year absence. You remember those?
No.
You don't remember these?
I do.
Yeah.
My son
right
was born
look at
around
see that there? See that? Little crown-shaped chicken nugget there at Burger King?
No.
You didn't. Had you already sworn off Burger King by then? Had they already gotten rid of it?
They probably pissed me off by that point, yeah.
And gotten rid of the chicken whopper? It said they're not coming back nationwide just yet. They're being sold at 25 locations around. I don't know why they picked this city, but they did. Miami for a limited time at $1.49 for 10 nuggets. Burger King said fans should, quote unquote, stay tuned for additional information regarding a potential nationwide launch.
If you're going to launch, a fast food item, why not do it in a fat city? Like, I don't know, Milwaukee.
Yeah. Well, that'd be a good one there.
Something like that. Omaha. Launch it there.
It's a good one.
Oh, there are some good eateries in Omaha.
Yeah, there are. There are as a result of that. Okay, so they say it should be coming pretty soon. Of course, similar to the regular nuggets, the crown-shaped nuggets are made from white meat with a crispy coating. The crown shape makes them, quote, perfect for dipping, end quote, says the chain. So I know you swore them off until the return of the chicken whopper. But I just wanted you to know the crown-shaped nuggets are back.
Thank you, Craig.
Snoopy used to do the crown-shaped nuggets, right?
Oh, for sure. And, like, my child's mom, she was a vegetarian until she got Preggers.
Yeah.
And that was the first meat she ate was the chicken nuggets.
Was the crown nuggets.
Crown nuggets.
Wow. So, how about that? See? So there you go. Do you remember when President Bush was president of the United States, George W. Bush. Ooh.
Okay, yeah, I do.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember back that far.
Uh-oh. From 2000 to 2008,
which,
I guess it was.
But again, yeah. which term? First term or second term?
Well, both terms, because you remember about airspace around the Crawford Ranch.
Yeah.
If you were in an airplane, they would, and I would have the pilots, the pilots would always explain to us, we're going to take a little wide turnaround there because we can't go into some restricted airspace. They would always say that, you know, and if you were in a private plane, you had to make sure and be in communication with radio towers either in Waco or wherever to direct you around the restricted airspace, you know, in the vicinity of the Crawford Ranch.
For sure, yeah.
Somebody did not get the message yesterday that there's restricted airspace in Delaware these days.
Oh, is that where the Biden home is?
Wilmington, Delaware. And what happened was North American Aerospace Defense Command fighter jet intercepted a small aircraft that violated the presidential airspace over Wilmington, Delaware on Sunday, according to a statement from NORAD. I mean, this is serious business. If you're getting NORAD involved, you know? So the fighter jet had to force the plane down. It dispersed signal flares to alert the pilot and get down. It said it was not in communication with air traffic controllers. The aircraft, identified on the ground as a single-engine, four-seat Grumman American based in New York, landed just north of the Delaware state line shortly after 1 o'clock. It was like, get down. It took off from Ocean City Municipal Airport in Maryland shortly after noon on Sunday. It flew north-northwest over Delaware and Maryland before making two complete turns and then descending to land at New Garden Airport. If you're going to fly, know where